Let us all pray. Our glorious God and Father, we thank you for the great gospel of our glorious God. We realise, O Lord, that we would not be here this morning, but for that great gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for every believer gathered here, for whom that gospel came to us, not in word only, but also in power. For, O Lord, our God, it raised us from being spiritually dead. And, O Lord, brought us to life in Christ and poured incalculable riches into our souls. We realise indeed, O Lord, that it came as glad tidings of great joy. And, O Lord, our God, we bless you that it centred upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for him. We long that we might know him more. Amen. And serve him better. We long, O God, that we might delight in him and rejoice in him and live for him. Because, Lord, one day we know that we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. And we look forward to that day. We realise, O Lord, on that day in heaven, there will be no more people who are sick, no more people who are unwell. We realise, O Lord, on that day there will be no more sin. And, O Lord, our God, your people will be up forever with you. We thank and praise you, O Lord, for the great hope that we have of one day, O Lord, every believer will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Hear us, O Lord. We thank you for this day. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be present among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let us turn to our reading this morning, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. For we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How thankful we are for that blessed portion of the Word of God. Now let us all pray. Great God in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you this morning. We realise, O Lord, that we have a great and glorious privilege. Because, O Lord, although you are the one who sits upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, yet, O God, we can call you our Father who art in heaven. And we bless you, Lord, for the great privilege that is ours. We realise, O Lord, that we have a personal relationship with the only true and with the only living God. We thank you for the dear Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father but by him. We thank you, O Lord, that he is a glorious way, that he is a wonderful way, an amazing way. And yet, Lord, we realize that he is a costly way, a cost that we can never begin to even comprehend. And yet, Lord, a cost that was paid by him in this world and at Calvary. We thank you, O Lord, for that death that he died, for that blood that was shed, for that atonement that was made. We thank you, Lord, for that propitiation. And, O Lord, our God, we bless you this morning that we can come to you, because we know it is well with our souls. We thank you, O Lord, that you have done all things well, and we thank you that we stand upon redemption ground, and that we know that we are loved with everlasting love. We thank you indeed, O Lord, for this fellowship of your people. We pray, O Lord, that your good hand might be upon them. We thank you for the word that has already gone out in the Sunday school, and we do pray, Lord, that you might be pleased to bring life to that word. We pray, O Lord, for all the children connected with this fellowship. We pray, O Lord, that not one of them will be lost. We pray indeed, O Lord, that you might bless their families and help their mothers and fathers to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We pray indeed, O Lord, that you might grant wisdom to every family here. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, that one by one, that these precious children might be saved by amazing grace. O Lord, our great God in heaven, we look to you. We pray that you might bless the work among the young people here. And O Lord, our God, we pray that you might bless the open air work here. And O Lord, our God, that you might bring life to this needy area of Belvedere. Amen. We realize, O Lord, that around and about us, there are people without a concern for you, without a thought for you, only a thought for themselves. And we do pray, O God, that in the coming days, that it might please you, O Lord, to touch many lives in this place. O Lord, our God, to open many blind eyes. We think, Lord, of the pub next door. O Lord, our God, how often have you worked in places like that in the past, in history? And we pray, O God, that even again, that you might do the same. We realize, O Lord, that there but for the grace of God go I. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given us so much better things, that you have granted us unto us the bread of life and the water of life. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We pray for our troubled world, O God, a world that is falling apart. And, O Lord, our God, we think of the many refugees that there are. We commend them to you. We think especially of your people who are refugees. And, O Lord, our God, we do pray that you might provide for them daily their daily bread. Amen. O Lord, our God, have your hand upon them, we pray. Be with them in every way. And remind them, O Lord, that they are part of a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And help them to ever be looking to that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hear us, O Lord, we ask. Help us as we shortly turn to your precious word. Be with those who can't be with us this morning. And may your gracious hand be upon them. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. One of the greatest amazements to me is that God takes hold of ordinary men and accomplishes his sovereign purposes in the salvation of sinners. How wonderful it is that God, in his amazing grace, takes hold of certain men and uses them for his glory as preachers of the word of God. Well, what kind of men are they? How would you describe them? Well, we have it here in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Here was Paul the Apostle, and he was writing to these believers at Corinth. And he was writing to them with a heavy heart, because he knew that there were those who had infiltrated them, and they were Jews, and they dignified themselves with the title of apostle, And their ideas of Christian leadership were so different from that of Paul's. Great Christian leaders, they taught, should be impressive. They should be assertive. They should be forceful. And they should be strong personalities. That was a prevailing leadership model in the Greek world of today. You see, the ancient Greeks had admiration for success. If you were an orator, you aim to be a successful orator. If you were an athlete, you must be successful. If you were an actor, the same thing. If you were a soldier, the same thing. And the important thing in the Greek culture was to succeed. There was the cult of the hero. And that is a high-powered image in the culture of the day. In fact, in Paul's day, there were what were known as the sophists, who made their living as travelling teachers. And they gave teaching to ambitious young people in the necessary schools in order to nurture that kind of character. These self-styled apostles offered the Christians at Corinth many different things from the teaching of Paul the Apostle. They offered them what was admired in the Greek world of today. And here was Paul, so different. Here was Paul writing to the believers at Corinth. You're looking to me to be one of these super apostles. You're looking at me to be a successful leader. But listen, I want to tell you what I really am. I have a treasure, and it's in an earthen vessel. And I am that earthen vessel. And we need to look, first of all, at an earthen vessel. What was it, indeed? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 4, we are told these words. Jeremiah 32 and verse 4. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him. 32 verse 14, rather. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both his purchase deed, which is sealed, and his deed, which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may last many days. A precious thing was placed in an earthen vessel. Something very valuable was put in an earthen vessel. It can also refer to a hollow vessel for containing certain things. There was a vessel that contained the wine that was given to the Lord Jesus. Now these jars, these vessels, were made of burnt shells. And Paul is really saying, look at me. You're looking for super apostles. You're looking for somebody who really succeeds. Somebody who's a great orator. But I'm just an earthen vessel. This is the picture that I have of myself, of a human body that is frail, that is fragile, that is easily reduced to dust. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And Paul is really saying that it's not because of anything special in him that the gospel originated. It was not because of any vigor or strength that the gospel came to him. It was not because he had particular potential that he had the privilege of being an apostle. It had been committed by the great God of heaven to a decaying and crumbling instrument, that it might be seen that all the power and all the glory and all the praise might be given to God alone. The total opposite of the false teachers that had infiltrated Corinth. Why does God do that? Why does he take hold of weak men, of fallible men? Why does he take hold of them at all in order that he might get all the glory? If I value a stamp collection, I go through the stamp collection and I try and value it. I'm not much good at it. But I don't value it for the albums. I value it for its contents. I value it for what's inside the albums. And God's ways are so different to ours. You see, Paul the Apostle says there's a vast treasure that has been placed in an earthen vessel, a weak, frail, fallible vessel. And as you look for a full-time elder here, remember you're looking for an earthen vessel. You're looking for a frail, earthen vessel. And here in this letter, we see Paul having to give descriptions of himself that was totally the opposite to the feeling of the day. I may be considered a fool. I may be considered a wimp. I may be considered a poor speaker. I may be considered friendless. I may be considered as lacking willpower. I may be considered a frail old man. He contended with the present culture of the day. I'm an earthen vessel, and that is a very accurate description of me. That is why when a church has a full-time elder, they must give that full-time elder all the support and all the encouragement that they can possibly give. And what Paul will be doing this morning, if he was standing here, is to draw your attention not to the earthen vessel, but to what's contained in that earthen vessel. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And I want for a few moments to lift that treasure out of that earthen vessel. It was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who once said, "If people go out glorying in us, we have failed." And that's so true, isn't it? And if people go out glorying in a preacher, they have failed. The story is told of two American tourists who came to England in the 19th century. And in the morning they went to the London City Temple and they heard a man called Joseph Parker, a very polished preacher and a very polished pulpit. And it was a tremendous presentation. And they went out and they said, "What a wonderful preacher is Joseph Parker. What a great man to hear his oratory, to hear the way he presents these truths." And in the evening they went down to the Metropolitan Tabernacle and they heard C.H. Spurgeon. And they came away that evening saying, "What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, my Lord." And the great desire of any true preacher is that people say, "What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, my Lord." What a treasure. What an amazing, glorious, and wonderful treasure. It's valuable and it's rare. It's so valuable it affects where people will spend eternity. It is so rare that it is unique. There's only one of its kind. Some people think that the penny black is a rare stamp. It's not. 59 million of them are produced. I picked up one yesterday for a customer. But this is so rare. There's nothing like it. It's so glorious. It's so amazing. It is so wonderful. It is so precious. It is so heartwarming. It's so life-transforming. It's indeed a glorious thing. And it is the only hope for men and women. There's only one of its kind. It is the most valuable treasure of all. You remember that hymn, Immortal Honours. It goes on to say, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. Has matchless grace made that treasure yours this morning? Do you know something of that amazing treasure, that wonderful treasure of the gospel? Because it frees us from condemnation and it frees us from the power of sin. Sin causes a revulsion to the heart of God. Have you ever smelt something and you feel absolutely revolted by what you're smelling? Well, sin does that to God. God looks down upon this world and he's revolted by sin. And his anger burns against sin. And every single sinner has a canopy of divine wrath over their heads. Sometimes you smell something and you think, whatever is that? We are repelled by it. And God is so repelled by sin. And because of that, every single person is condemned, is under the condemnation of heaven. Over every single unconverted person is the judgment of God. But because of this glorious treasure, this condemnation is removed. And there becomes therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of that glorious treasure, a person is made an adopted child of the Most High God. Because of this glorious treasure, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Because of this glorious treasure, a person is reconciled to the great God of heaven and earth. Because of this glorious treasure, a person can say, when they look at Jesus at Calvary, in my place, condemned, he stood. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Oh friend, where are you this morning? This earthen vessel would ask you the question, where are you this morning? Are you under condemnation? Or are you a child of the living God? Do you know a Saviour's amazing love? Do you know the amazing grace of God? The loving kindness of God? The forgiveness of God? The reconciliation of God? Martin Lloyd-Jones said that forgiveness was God's greatest predicament. And so it was, God's greatest predicament. But he found a solution in the person of his Son. And he gave his Son freely and willingly and in great love to this world, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because of this great treasure, a person becomes a new creation. A new creation. When I used to go to Malaga, and I used to go to that little chapel in Malaga, I used to find different people from different walks of life, some from very sinful backgrounds, who had become new creations in Jesus Christ. It was in a little back street in Malaga, totally insignificant little place to me. And yet there were one after another, who had come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a glorious thing to be a new creation. A person having his life being changed into the image, the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were the worst of sinners, but we are being changed into the image of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I know about me, it's still work in progress, isn't it? It's still work in progress. And I find continually that the Lord reminds me much that I'm still an earthen vessel. What does it do? It delivers from the power of the God of this world. Verse 4 of this chapter says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. There was a terrible blindness. If you're not a Christian here this morning, there's a sense in which you should be carrying a white stick. Because you're blind. There's a dear man in the Isles of Scilly that I visit when we're over there. He's nearly 94 now. He's a lovely Christian man. But he's totally blind. And he lives in a little bungalow overlooking a lovely bay. And I sit with him sometimes in his front room and have fellowship with him. And there's all this beauty all around. but he cannot see it because he's blind. And my dear friend, there's all the beauty of Christ all around in this place. But you cannot see it because you're blind. And I pray that by God's grace, your eyes will be opened. And you'll come to know this glorious Christ. My friend Kenneth hasn't always been blind. I'm thankful for that. He can remember times when he could see. But he's blind now. But I tell you one thing. You talk to him and he sees Jesus. And he knows the Lord Jesus Christ in all his loveliness and all his glory. And when you speak of the Lord Jesus, there's a smile on his face. And he's come to know this precious Saviour. I often feel for this man. But oh, I would feel for you spiritually. For spiritual blindness is terrible and awful. And I pray that light may shine in your heart this morning. For we read in verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, that that light might shine in your heart. And what a wonderful thing it is when that light shines. And it shows something of the darkness of sin. And it shows something of the wonder of Calvary and of the glorious Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Oh, that that light may come. And that light may work in your life and show you something of what you are before God. And show you something of your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you might come to know the greatest treasure of all. A treasure that is free, but is terribly costly to God. That God has given this amazing treasure in the person of his Son. Supposing tomorrow morning there was a headline in a newspaper, crown jewels to be freely given to all. Well, there would be an increase in people going up to Buckingham, up there on the train, wouldn't there, to the Tower of London, freely given to all. And yet in the gospel, crown jewels are given to all. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The wonder of forgiveness, to be ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, to be made a member of the royal family of heaven, to be adopted into the family of God. What amazing things. And in many ways, people should be queuing up to get in here this morning. Because crown jewels, and not only crown jewels, but adoption papers are freely available to all. To be a member of the royal family of heaven is a treasure that's valuable, but it's amazingly costly. It's amazingly costly to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was amazingly costly to the Father too. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He did not spare his own Son. He left the Holy of Holies. He left the seraphim veiling their faces before him. And he came into this world and he had nowhere to lay his head. He lived a perfect life of faithfulness to the Father. And there at Calvary, he became a reject. Rejected by men. And yes, rejected by the Father. Because he who knew no sin was made sin for us. He knew what it was to have true poverty because he had nothing. Totally nothing. The co-creator of the universe had nothing when he hung on Calvary's tree. So that everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith might have all things that they need in the Lord Jesus. And then this particular day, nothing would encourage this preacher to know that there are those who have come by the way of the cross. That there have been those who have by grace made this treasure theirs. What is grace? It is God's undeserved favour. I don't know about you, but I have to say about me, it needs to be undeserved favour, because there's nothing deserving in this man that God should show any favour to him at all. Come now. Come as you are. Come today. Come at this moment. Don't stay another moment in unbelief. Come, bow the knee to an enthroned Christ, and you will have treasure in heaven. What is keeping you from Christ, my friend? What is keeping you from him? You may say, I have a prejudice against Christian people. Then that prejudice has to be dealt with. What is keeping you from Christ? An idol? Something that dominates your life? What is keeping you from Christ? Say goodbye to it today. Turn from it. Turn from your sin. Turn from your waywardness. Turn to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. Come today. Come now. Don't stay one moment longer in unbelief. Don't stay any moment under condemnation of God any longer. Come and plead with the Lord Jesus to save you as a sinner and make you a child of the living God. Let us pray. Our Lord, our glorious God, our heart longs to know that people have been saved. We long, O God, that you might do a work of grace. Only you can do it. Yet we know at the same time that men and women, boys and girls are responsible as they hear. And we do pray, Lord, that you may come and that you may work. Lord God, we lay hold upon you this morning, that in your great mercy that you might save sinners. You may turn them from darkness to light, kingdom of Satan to God. Make them your children. Grant them awareness that they have been loved with everlasting love. We thank you, O Lord, for the free, full offer of the gospel. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. O Lord, our God, what a wonderful truth that is. And we pray, O God, that there might be those who should call, young, old alike, and come to know this glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, that you have placed this treasure in earthen vessels. Ultimately, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we recognize that ultimately it's God that saves. And we pray, Lord, that you might do that work. You love to save. You're specialist in grace. Do that work, we pray, for your own glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we do pray that very soon that there might be an earthen vessel here. We pray, O Lord, that very soon that there might be a man sent from God. And, O Lord, our God, we pray that he may be used mightily for your glory, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And now to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.